Okay, that's not too bad, Ryan. Ryan's kind of right in saying that and trying to, you know, the city that, very briefly, the city that my family was in was a city of about 4 million people in the city, just in the city. And the province itself had about 9 million people. Within the city, there were probably maybe 250 to 300 foreigners. That is Americans, Koreans, students studying Chinese language, business people doing joint venture work and stuff like that. But can you imagine, granted, you know, I'm 6'2", 190 something pounds, okay, give or take. Now, very easily, when I walk downtown in the public places, I'm recognized very easily. And, you know, we're the minority there. Any foreigner is a minority there. So a sea of Chinese people, I'm talking a sea of Chinese people, okay? Kind of like what you just saw here with a bunch of the guys and Gabby. And people will actually stop and watch you walk by. And they'll have a conversation about you as they're doing that. And I have no idea what they're saying, but they're having a conversation. Just like that. And they'll follow you all the way till you're past them. It's kind of China. That's what China's like. But this application here is we see sometimes, and Gwen, I really appreciated the drama that you guys just did, because do you think as a Christian, ladies and gentlemen, that we are exempt from what happened with Gwen? Do you think that we're exempt from that happening in our own life? We're not. We're not exempt from that. And we saw the group of guys coming across the stage, and let's say that Gwen represents the Christian person in our society today, and everybody else is against her, the world, the worldview. And how the guys did a very good job of this without me telling what they were going to do, but did they make it very easy for Gwen to go through that? The wall of guys, the wall of bodies? No. And that's what our, unfortunately, sometimes, this is what our Christian experience is like. And we're not exempt from that. And sometimes, when we go against the flow of what the world is telling us to do, what society is telling us to do, what society is telling us to accept and to do, sometimes we get caught up in that. And we end up losing our commitment to Christ as a result of that. And we find ourselves in with the flow of what's happening very easily. It happens very easily. I'm 46 years old, students, and pretty much what Gwen experienced in her young life, I experienced all those things before I was a Christian. And I even experienced some of those things after I was a Christian. Really? Yeah, really. Unfortunately. And so I want to look at some scriptures that I think will be very important for us, and hopefully you guys will be able to understand what we're talking about. Found in the book of Joshua. Joshua has assembled all the tribe, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, and he's giving them this covenant or a covenant renewal. He's speaking to them about, and he says this. He says, "Now fear the Lord," beginning in Joshua 24. I'm sorry, "Fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I don't know how many of you have made that commitment in your life tonight. I don't know. I know some of you, certainly I know some of you from years past working with you in youth, and now you're college students, and some of you maybe graduated already. That's great, you know? Praise the Lord. But that commitment that you made to God as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. What, students, that has a lot of weight to it. What does that mean today? What does that mean for us today in this society that we live in, the culture that we live in? You know, it's very, very easy. It's very easy to speak about God to Chinese college students, to Chinese young people, okay? It's not so easy to talk about God to young people in America. Because you guys are saturated in our society with having the ability or the needs or the necessary things, the resources that you can hear about God. In China, they don't. And so when you speak about God, they're glued to every word that you say. And so it's very easy for them to listen, to hear, maybe not so much to fully understand what you're talking about in terms of spiritual things, but just to know that you're speaking about a God, something that they don't really know or understand yet. And they are more than willing to want to know more about that. It's very, very different. But what does that mean for you today? What does it mean for you in your own life right now, tonight? As for me, I will serve the Lord. How do you serve the Lord? How are you serving the Lord right now? He continues on. Joshua continues on. Or in verse 21, it says, "But the people said to Joshua," I'm sorry, "Joshua said to the people, 'You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God, and he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you.'" That's a little bit of a warning to us there, I think. Something that we need to be, something that we need to pay attention to. "But the people said to Joshua, 'No, we will serve the Lord.' Then Joshua said, 'You yourselves, if we call ourselves Christians tonight in this room, we are witnesses to what we have said.'" Sean is a witness to that fact that I have said that. "Therefore, it should be each of our responsibility to hold each other accountable to what that means in our life. You're witnesses. You're witnesses to the fact that I am standing before you tonight saying, 'Students, listen, I believe with all my heart that God loves me, he died for me, and that I want to follow and serve him the rest of my life.' And so when I go and I subject myself, or I put myself in a place that does not exemplify Christ, then you guys are responsible to make me accountable to that. Because if we don't, everybody just gets their own idea of what this thing we call Christianity is. We just make it what we want it to be for us. But it can't be that way, can it? Ryan, I don't know, man. I don't think so. It shouldn't be that way. Joshua continues on, and he says, "Then Joshua said, 'You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord.' 'Yes,' they said, 'we are witnesses.' Now then, said Joshua, 'Throw away foreign gods that are among you, and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel.' And the people said to Joshua, 'We will serve the Lord our God and obey him.'" Get rid of that. Okay. All of us know that we have this sinful nature in us, right? Yes? We all know that we have that, right? Because none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect. Not until I get to heaven, I hope. All right? But we all know that this exists in us. And my question to you is, students, ladies and gentlemen, have we become so calloused or so oblivious to our own worldliness, our own sinfulness, that we don't even know what's right or wrong anymore? We look at the societal conditions that we live in. And as a Christian person, do we just accept things because it's the way our society is and we just go along with it and everything's okay, no problem? Or do we need to take a more serious look at what we accept and don't accept? What we do or what we don't do ourselves as a Christian person? Very important, I think. Very, very important. 1 John, I think as a result sometimes, we miss out on what God really wants to do in and through us because of our action or our inaction and how God really wants to use us in our society, on our campus, at our university, at our job, if some of you are working, whatever it is. 1 John 2:14 to 16 says this, "I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who was from the beginning. I write to you, young men." I also want to inject this word, not add, but I just want to inject this word, young ladies, young women. "Because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one." Have you? Or do you find your Christian walk a daily constant struggle, knowing what you should or shouldn't do in light of what Scripture teaches us, tells us to do, commands us to do? For everything in the world, continues on to say this, "Do not love the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from God the Father, but from the world." We always hear that, expression all the time, be in the world, but not of the world. Maybe easier said than done, I think. I know that was my experience, 20 years ago, when I first became a Christian, when I was a young Christian, when I didn't understand anything about the Bible, when I didn't understand anything about having a personal relationship with God. I think I was that way. I think I was the person who was easily sucked back into this worldly lifestyle, and everything was okay. God still loved me, kind of thinking. God does love us. God loves us unconditionally. But does he continue to accept the things that we do? Or does he want us to change? He wants us to change. Scripture tells us that he wants us to change. Solomon in all his great wisdom, he said in Ecclesiastes, speaking about some of these things that we saw up here in the drama presentation, drugs, alcohol, sex, maybe it's money, maybe it's fame, popularity. If you talk to many Chinese people today, if you talk to many young Chinese people today, what are they seeking after? Fame, money. That's what's important to them. They think if they have these things that their life will be happy or successful. It's a little bit difficult to speak to them in terms of God and saying how God can take care of all those needs if you let him. But Solomon in all his wisdom said this in Ecclesiastes 2, 1 and 11, or 1 to 11. He says, "Pleasures are meaningless. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven. during the few days that we live on this earth. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women, singers and harem as well, the delights of the heart of men. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. But then he goes on to say this, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for my labor. And some people think that, you know, hey, I work hard, I should have all these great things. And I'm not saying any of those things are bad. I'm not, that's not what I'm saying here, okay? But he said this, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. All the pleasures, and I just put this on the students, guys, ladies and gentlemen, all the pleasures of this world, whatever you think that might be for you, whatever you think that might be, it pales in comparison to what God has planned for you. It pales in comparison to what God has planned for your life. No matter what you think it is, I don't know what you think it is, okay? I had my own ideas of what I thought pleasures were in the world. And none of those things compared to what I see God doing in my life today. They just don't. They don't even come close. They don't even come close. One more. Hang on with me. We're almost finished, okay? We have this, you know, we have this experience. I don't know, students, I keep calling you guys students. I'm sorry, that's like a force of habit. I'm sorry that I'm doing that to you, okay? We have this, I don't know what your experience was of how you came to a knowledge of Christ, okay? Or if you don't have a knowledge of Christ, maybe what we're saying to you tonight is very foreign and you don't understand everything, and we can talk to you about that later. But for those of you who have been a Christian for any amount of time, okay, I'm not really sure how that came about. But listen to this. This is very, very serious again. And this kind of goes back to what we're talking about. And it says in Matthew 7, 21 and 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Huh? Really? I didn't know that. That's kind of scary to think. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? I thought if we prayed, Jesus, I ask you into my heart, you know, forgive my sins, I'm gonna go to heaven, right? I don't know, that's not what that says right there. That's not what it says in Matthew. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and perform all the miracles? Then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Very harsh words. Very harsh words coming from Jesus himself. Now, we need to understand the severity of a life that is not fully committed to God. And it calls for a changed life, not something that we have experienced just from saying some kind of prayer. That's not what it's about. That doesn't get us into heaven. We think it does. Doing the will of God. Is it difficult? Folks, is it difficult? Do we even know what the will of God is? Some of us don't. I don't know what it, I'm not sure what it is yet. Are you searching for what the will of God is for your own life? I think I'm doing, I thought the will of God was for me to stay in China for the rest of my life. Obviously, that's not true. I find myself now relying on God more than I ever did, especially since I don't have a job and I don't have a home and I have a family to take care of. It's a very difficult position for me to be in right now. But I have to trust in God that he knows better than I do. I hope he does for my own life, for the life of my family, so I can be the man of God that he wants me to be. And maybe this experience that I'm going through right now is a test for me. Maybe it's a test to see if it, am I going to continue to go against the flow of society and rely on God, or am I just going to kind of, okay, I'm going to kind of go do my own thing so I make sure I survive kind of mentality. And that's not what I want. I don't want that to be it for myself, for my own life. Now, we think that some of our activities are harmless, but they are actually the things that may be destroying us without our knowledge because we have accepted them as normal or being a part of the societal condition. But I say to you that Christ, when the Jesus has called us, all of us who call on his name, to a much bigger standard than that. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that statement? That Christ has called us to a much bigger standard than just to say, if we call on his name, that we just kind of status quo, everybody status quo, whatever's okay, it's acceptable for me. It's acceptable to me, for me. I don't mind it. Doesn't bother me. Or does God require change in us? What has he called us to? He's called us to serve the Lord. Last thing. Do you remember can any of you remember the first time you came to the Lord? Anybody remember that experience? I remember, for me, it was like 24 years ago. I remember it. Does anybody remember your experience when you first came to the Lord? What was it like for you? Were you pumped? Were you stoked? Were you on fire? Like you just came from a great missions trip, or you just came from a great youth rally, or whatever you want to, whatever your experience was? Was it like that for you? It was like that for me. Is it still the same? If it isn't, why has it changed? You're kind of like ho-hum, la-di-da, kind of go through my life now. Just kind of with the flow, or maybe against the flow, I don't know. I think that's what it's coming to, and that's kind of scary to me. To me, that's kind of scary. That we wait for these experiences to happen to us, but it doesn't need to be that way. We don't have to wait for the next missions trip to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go witness to people. That's awesome. I can't wait to do that. I'm so pumped. It's something that we should be experiencing every single day in our life, according to Scripture, if we're following and serving the Lord like he wants us to. I keep looking at you too. I don't mean to be doing that. Just kind of doing that, okay? Y'all see where I'm coming from? I'm not trying to be like this, oh man, you're like over-conservative, Mr. Robert. You're like, you sound like legalistic or something. Yeah, we can't do anything. It's all about the rules. No, it's not about the rules, okay? It's about your own commitment to God. What does that mean to you? That's what it means. What does it mean to you? What does it mean? Everybody's different, maybe. Maybe we're all different. We all have this different viewpoint of what it is to us to serve the Lord. But Scripture is very specific about what it is. And that's what we can't change. We can't change what Scripture says. We're not supposed to. And that's what we need to be careful of doing. Thank you for listening to me tonight, by the way. I appreciate it. You know, sometimes we feel like we live under this umbrella of grace. If from God. And we do. We live under God's grace. Amen for that. I mean, where would we be without God's grace and mercy in our lives when we screw up? When we do wrong things, you know, when we don't do it the right way. Thank goodness for God's grace. But that doesn't mean that we constantly stay in that pattern. We have to change it. It has to be changed. Paul, one of the great men of the New Testament, man, he went through the same struggles we went through, or the same struggles that we go through. What did he say? Remember, that's that great passage in Romans chapter 7. You know, the things I want to do, I don't do. That whole passage, you know, like, it's very confusing to read, right? But Paul went through the same struggle. But Scripture encourages us to change. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it also says in Romans. And we also have this promise from Christ. It says that we're more than conquerors in Christ. And that we can overcome these things that hinder us, that get in our way, you know, the going against the flow kind of thing, the things that get in our way. We can get through all that with Christ's help. When we try to do it on our own, it becomes a different story. I want to
close.
I want to close this time. Before we close, though, I think that Carrie, where's Carrie? There she is. Where's Carrie? There she is, back there. So Carrie, wonderful opportunity that Carrie has. Probably many of you have heard that Carrie's going to Cambodia. Scary. Okay, that's great though. Wonderful, great opportunity. Going to serve in the mission field. Cambodia is a really rough place. I know that for fact. But Carrie, I've been reminded that we need to pray for you tonight. I know they're going to be doing a thing for you on Sunday, but could you just come up here real quick, and Carrie, so we can pray for you? I think it's great that I have an opportunity. You know, I'm coming back from Asia, and another young lady is heading off to Asia. So that's great. Come on up, Carrie. We're gonna pray for you real quickly. Is there anything specific that we can pray about? Nothing specific. Okay, well, we're going to pray in general then, okay? Carrie, do you mind if I pray for you? Is that okay?
Sure.
Let's pray, okay, guys? Oh, yeah. See, any of you guys, it's my first time meeting Carrie, but any of you who want to come up here and know what she's doing here, come on up. Guys, listen to me. I can't tell you how important, I mean, I don't even know if I can express to you how important it is that you guys support your sister in Christ. If you've never experienced, especially, I mean, the short-term thing is really cool, and, you know, come and gone, you're really excited. But when you go to some place, when you go to a completely foreign culture, really out of your comfort zone, whatever it might be, listen, if you don't have support from people back in your home church or your club, wherever you're from, man, I'm telling you, it's rough. It is really, really rough, okay? And so, you guys need to back Carrie and pray for her, send her emails, whatever you need to do it for her, okay? It'll make her experience so much better. And I tell you that from personal experience. But Carrie, let's pray for you, okay? Is that all right? Father, we thank you tonight that we have the opportunity, the privilege, Lord, to pray for Carrie and for the work, the mission that you have before her, Lord. She told me that she's going to be teaching at a missions school. Missions, is that right, Carrie? Mission school. And so, Father, we just pray that you would go before her. Lord, that her brothers and sisters back here at Riverside, those who are connected to her, close to her, Lord, would lift her up before you daily, Father. It's a daily need. It's not something we do once a week, but just be reminded to pray for her every day, Lord, to meet her needs, Lord. We thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, that you go before her, And Father, we pray that her influence and her witness would bring great glory and honor to your name. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I could, in closing, I'd like to, don't really do this very much, but in China had a lot of opportunity to sing. Chinese students love it when their foreign teachers sing for them. Sometimes it was a little annoying, but I kind of like singing. So, students, I want to close. One thing that is always and will always be constant is Christ's love for us. It never changes. It doesn't change. And it's a tremendous thing. It's a wonderful thing. And I asked my to-be, soon-to-be 15-year-old daughter, who's in the back of the room, Brianna, come on up, hon. She's going to play the piano for me on this song. The name of the song is called Love Goes On. And it kind of talks about a little bit, this song kind of talks a little bit about some of these pleasures that we think we desire, we seek, but eventually they're gone. They're all gone. You know, they last for a time, you know, and then that's it. But Christ's love doesn't change for us. And I would encourage you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know the Lord, you are missing out. You know, I hate to say that you're missing out, but you are. But if you have a desire to want to know more about this man, Jesus, who many of us in this room say we love or say that we serve, if you want to know more about that, I'm sure there are a number of people around here tonight who would be happy to talk to you. I'd be happy to talk to you, hang around here and speak with you. But I really want to thank you for coming tonight. Thank you to the drama team. You guys are awesome. That's a great drama. I think it would be very effective in Haiti. Haiti is a very dark place. I've been there many, many times. Actually, Haiti was my first mission trip that I ever took more than 23 years ago. I'm feeling old. Anyway, students, just a closing prayer with this song. The name of the song is called Love Goes On.